Ready?
I loved Green Day when I was in elementary school.
Dude, Backstreet Boys were my jam.
That's Blink 182, Sam. It's not Green Day.
I think we all knew.
Gosh, know your bands, dude. Know your late 90s punk bands.
No, I
late
I,
90s, more like 2022 comeback revival. Am I
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
I heard about that, and I kind of felt ashamed for them.
Ashamed for them. Or wanting
yeah.
to keep going?
I know. I really can't speak much to it. I mean, Christian knows all about getting what it's like to get tickets for like a modern, an actual like big band concert. Yeah, it's expensive, right? I know. I haven't paid more than like $40 for a concert ticket.
That's
still,
I feel like a reasonable rate, but you know, Ticketmaster and all that stuff that's been happening lately.
Yeah,
tickets have been
crazy.
Soaring in price.
Like $400 a ticket.
I don't know, man. I don't think I would want to see
Blink
182 today.
Stadiums aren't getting any bigger,
regardless of cost.
I don't think I would want to see them perform today.
Like at all? Like even if the tickets are free?
I mean, I guess if they like showed up at a party you were at and they like, put on a concert,
you wouldn't say no.
You'd be like, oh, that's you wouldn't leave. You'd be like, oh, that's pretty cool, you know. But
this
like,
dope.
Yeah,
these guys
but,
are
like,
pretty
I wouldn't,
big.
I wouldn't pay $100 to go see him at Staples Center or whatever.
I mean, that's a deal, right?
Ask for
$100 is like a deal these days.
Yeah, these days. What's the song? What's My Age Again? You know that song where there's the line is like 23, like I turned 23 or whatever. That song turned 23. Like last month.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's exactly why I wouldn't go see him.
Old.
You know, it's like let it live in nostalgia, you know, for like the time and the place in which it was popularized and not, you know.
I just don't go to concerts. Not that I actively dislike concerts. I just never get around to doing them. I'd rather go one wheeling most of the time.
That would be like if we like reshot and remastered one of our old YouTube videos and like, then re-released it. It's like
I actually think that's a great idea.
I mean, we kind of really did that with the glitch video. A little bit.
That's funny.
Yeah, but that was kind of was for funsies, you know? That was like, let's see what Peter can do with it.
Whew, well. We got a week here.
Yeah, we've had a few weeks.
It's a hot week.
It's been a hot end of the year. Well, I think there's a few things worth talking about. First off, I'd like to hear still a little more about your travels.
Well, I got to the studio today, and I'm about to go home from the studio today. Travels, am I right?
You went to the you visited Jake's homeland.
Yeah. So okay.
My home state.
So a week ago, I guess a week and a half ago, the weekend before Thanksgiving, I and Christian, we flew to Dallas. We were there for less than 24 hours. We got there like Friday night and we left Saturday evening.
Dang.
And the reasoning for that is because we were doing some client work.
Which
is something we almost never do unless it's a really good opportunity. And this opportunity involved creating some neural radiance field scans, of which I just made a whole video about like that same weekend.
Nerfs.
Yeah, exactly. And so we got to work with Luka Doncic, who is an MVP NBA player. Basically, he's one of the best NBA players this year and has been for a few years now. He's a pretty young player. He's like 23 years old.
That's nuts. It's like
nobody likes Slovenian.
Yeah. Oh my God, you're right.
He's Slovenian.
That was a reference.
And as a quarter Slovenian, I approve.
Bringing it back.
You're a quarter Slovenian?
Yeah, my dad was half.
Dang.
Really? I didn't know that. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. So we had an hour of Luka's time. This is through his production company. They were doing a brand integration with Nerf, and they thought it'd be a fun thing to do a Nerf. So basically, I had an hour of his time, and I just stood him in a few different positions, told him to be incredibly still, and I scanned him. Worked with his dad, Sasha, as well, and his trainer, Marco. Really cool people. At one point, all three of them were just surrounding me and talking in Slovenian, but they're all like 6.5 feet or taller.
They're all massive.
They're
like hill
people.
Giants.
They are. And his dad in particular. His dad, Sasha Doncic, is like a literal bear. He's like 6'8", I think. And
jeez.
Like he literally looks like what a bear would look like if they stood up on their hind legs. It was crazy because he got escorted into the gym by a couple of other guys, and I can clearly see his collarbone above the other two guys who were directly in front of him.
Dang,
it was crazy. Yeah, so that was a really cool opportunity. And so my last week or so, week and a half, has just been nothing but working on that.
Nothing but so, net, dude.
But that's opened up this whole like thing for me anyways. Like it was very eye-opening because I was like, okay, so obviously, you know, Nerfs, they're super dope. It's not like surprising that they want to like do something cool with that. Not to mention, I guess there's like a Nerf tie-in with it, which is the joke.
Yeah.
So there's like Nerf guns in it. So that's funny. But then I
Nerf blasters,
Nerf,
Sam.
Sir, Nerf blasters.
That fire rounds.
Well, that's what I tell Gideon too. I'm just like, just say blaster. Just don't run around saying I'm gonna shoot you with my gun right now. Like,
oh no.
But so I was going through his TikTok and you know social media.
Uh-huh.
It's all client work.
Pretty much. I mean, except for it's funny. There's a bunch of stuff that they've been posting that involves a bunch of very advanced like visual effects stuff. Like they have a whole metahuman character.
They made a human on him, and then they're deepfaking his face onto the metahuman, which that's been around for you know a few months now,
or yeah.
Like basically this year, people got you know keen to doing that. But yeah, they're doing that so he doesn't have to make.
He doesn't want.
He doesn't want. To,
like I don't want to speak too much on his behalf.
Yeah, of course.
And whatnot, but like his main focus is winning the NBA.
Yeah, yeah, like, of course.
And that's all he wants to focus on, but he has a production company. He understands the need to sort of build this sort of nest egg that can carry him through into retirement and whatnot. And so,
you know, a hot TikTok page.
I mean, basically,
that's going to be the thing that makes him the money.
Not millions he's making
not
every
the
year
money.
Playing the NBA.
I am sure I am not. Like,
sure, of course,
yeah.
Communicating this properly, but basically, he doesn't really want to do filming stuff. Like,
yeah, it's a whole ordeal.
He doesn't want to be in a big like group situation. Yeah. It's kind of awkward.
You
and
have
whatnot.
To approve and disapprove of things, and then there's like someone has to direct it and film it, and like you're always,
yeah.
I mean, what we
and
do
so
here.
He kind of just doesn't mind the idea of someone else having him review trick shots and whatnot using deepfakes of making him do that.
It's insane.
And the opposite, I would actively want that to not be the case unless I was the one making it. But I get it from his perspective. He's like, I don't want to have to do this stuff, but I kind of have to do this stuff.
Yeah, everyone's saying, what are you doing? You don't want to like post on social media all the time and have that consume your life? And he's like, no, I want to play.
Ironically,
I want to play b-ball.
They were saying that.
I'm a baller, guys.
They've been seeing a lot of b-ball. Success on their social media just from when he just started being active. Like on TikTok, like an interviewer would be like, what was the question? Like, what's your favorite scary movie? And he's like, one through five. I liked them all. So I was like, okay, that was actually really funny.
That's awesome.
The weird thing about what he's doing is when we started the Zero Vega account, it was kind of like a parody of something that we thought might happen in the future.
Yeah.
And this kind
and
of
happening.
Is happening.
It's basically
in a way.
Exactly that. Yeah.
This is like something out of like some what are those all those Jennifer Lawrence movies? People are gonna slay me.
Hunger
for
Games.
This.
Hunger Games.
Yes, the Hunger Games. Yeah. so, but you know how it's like this weird,
X-Men?
Like weird future dystopia, and there's like people.
Yeah.
You know, and
I mean, you're exactly right. It's what we've talked about.
I mean, even
like,
Blade Runner, you can just like,
yeah,
you
Blade
can sink
Runner,
even
yeah,
lower just
them.
To like that basic
but it's
Blade
like,
Runner
this guy gets paid millions of dollars to play basketball, and then he's created this social media account with out that he's not actually in, but like he's in, but he's not in using
just on
all
those
this
specific posts,
experimental
though.
Technology. Yeah, I mean, yeah, but it's. It was surprising also to me like how in touch they are with what's coming out.
Yeah.
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 Did you talk to him about that? Did you ask him like how do you even know about this?
I didn't really talk to him that much. I asked him how he was feeling. He's like, tired. Because the night before he had literally just gotten his 50th triple double, which is where you get Double digits in both scoring, rebounds, and passes.
Assists. In sports ball. It's where you get double digits in three different sports balls.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. There's
three things, yes.
And he did it in a very, very short amount of time, like record-breaking short amount of time. He was the second fastest to get to 50 in the league history. He beat out Magic Johnson by a single game to get to second place. Anyway, point being, he had a hell of a game the night before, which we caught the tail end of in a bar. Shout out to the bartender in Dallas, by the way. You made our night great. He recognized us and got our comped our dinner.
Damn,
I'm like,
dude.
Whoa, dang, sick. Son. Anyway, yeah, and so we worked with Luca the next day, and he was tired. He had just spent the entire morning training and whatnot, and he had an hour of free time to come get some scans with me. And he, I don't think, cares too much about everything going on. Yeah. I guess is what I'm saying. It's his production team and his manager who are very tapped into stuff.
Yeah.
His manager is, she's pretty cool. She was previously the manager for Dirk Nowitzki. I guess still the manager. Hmm. Agent, if you will. One of those like power people when like she walked in the room, you're instantly like, oh yeah, she's the one in charge.
Yeah. She's Ari Gold.
Yeah.
She's Ariel Gold.
But like even she understood like what a mesh was and stuff like that, you know?
Really?
And like the production team, they I don't know how they knew about nerfs as this new thing and whatnot, but they're pretty tapped into the zeitgeist, as we like to say. And somehow my name got like floated up to the top of that, and they wanted specifically me to be the point man interacting with Luca to not only like get the scans, but to like make him feel less awkward about it.
Nice.
Which I thought was very cool.
That's awesome.
Very proud of that.
Well, the first one turned out really well.
The first one / kind of the second one.
Yeah, whatever.
The joys of client work.
Client work is, it's one of those things where I do client work so infrequently now that I forget that at the end of the day, even if what you made is super dope, if it's not what they wanted, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And so I had basically pulled an all-nighter because that was the thing. We shot on Tuesday and our first deliverable was Tuesday. Saturday to Tuesday.
Saturday.
Correct. Yeah. Shot on Saturday. I did a few hours worth of work on Sunday and then a bunch of work all day Monday, almost pulled an all-nighter getting this thing done. And I was super happy with it, super pleased, submitted it. And they're like, yeah, this isn't going to work at all. And I'm like, oh no. And they listed off a bunch of very valid reasons. Luca and the blaster were like a little too blurry. And I started like a little too far away. Some stuff. And I was like, okay. So I had to pivot and make a completely new thing that ended up taking more time. So I basically pulled two back-to-back all-nighters to finish up that one first post that is now on Luca's
but
TikTok
because
and Instagram.
Because it's
I think
a
it
nerf.
Came out sweet. I'm pretty proud of it. I went into it with the expectation that, all right, if the mirror world type thing that I was trying to get didn't work out, we have the backup, which is do a scan of him with a bunch of red lights, do another scan of him with a bunch of blue lights in the roughly the same position. I could do the same camera move through both and just cut back and forth between the scans.
I think one thing people don't understand, though, about what you're talking about is when you just say, I'm just going to reframe it, you can do that. You can pick an entirely different camera move from the scan. A lot of people don't, you know, we're so ingrained with this idea that, you know, what you get in camera, what you get in the frame is what you have to work with unless you have another shot.
I mean, you're totally right.
But this is really cutting edge in the sense that not only does it give you a much higher quality and faster scan than photogrammetry, but you can, just like photogrammetry, but more so, you can pick your shots and move through the space however you want the camera to move.
Yeah, I think so. Like, for any of you confused listening or watching right now, confused about what it is we're talking about with nerfs and whatnot, we're not talking about the blasters, even though we kind of are right now.
We're talking about the video you should have watched.
Yeah, if you're
on
confused,
the Crew channel, you should check it out now.
Yeah, it's like I forget what the title is. Like
nerfs.
We'll wait. We'll
nerfs
count
not
to
in the
three
title. It's in the description. Check it out. Okay. Click that link in the description. It'll tell you everything you could possibly want to know about nerfs and why they're a big deal. But basically, to summarize, if you already are familiar with photogrammetry, that kicks out like a 3D model, and you use that for things. Whereas this is kind of the same process, but instead of kicking out a 3D model, it uses a neural render, kind of like the same type of rendering that makes deepfakes, and it just renders out a viewpoint from anywhere within that volume or around that object. And so it creates this sort of, it's a very similar thing as photogrammetry, but the perspective on it is completely different because now you're actually getting what seems to look like footage. Mm-hmm. The quality is still not quite there yet. Yeah. It's blurry, low res. It's not,
yeah, like the fidelity isn't that high, but ultimately it's like it's because it's not trying to reconstruct a texture or a model. It's able to figure out all the different qualities of all the materials in your scene.
You get
scene.
All the actual like lighting reflection that was there.
Yeah, it's nuts. It's really cool. It's absolutely nuts.
Yeah, so it's like capitalizing on like a subtle way of how light works, and the result is something that actually looks very realistic.
Yeah, and it's probably 2 weeks away from being higher quality.
Yeah, I mean, probably, yeah. Pro tip for anyone getting into nerfs. Every single nerf that I've made so far, I've run through Topaz upscale. And I've denoised it at 100%. Like, maximizing the denoising gets rid of a lot of the weird artifacts you see in these nerfs, along with that special sharpening.
So Topaz is awesome. Resolution. We're using it to upgrade a bunch of website assets.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I've been using it like crazy the last few weeks on these videos. Yeah.
Well, there's like these 10-year-old videos that have these 380p thumbnails. And so we're just using Topaz to upgrade them all.
That's awesome.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but this was like, so like, it's a crazy week because like the nerf stuff is insane. And then also like when it comes to like other AI image environment stuff, like, so we're working on the anime Rock, Paper, Scissors video.
Has that been announced yet?
Hey guys,
no,
we're
I guess we're
it.
Doing
hey, guys.
Sorry. Rock, Paper, Scissors
what
video.
Up? So we're making a new, what up, crew towns? Obviously, welcome. We've had the previous anime videos, like anime fidget spinner, etc. But so this one, we're doing another one, and Nico has been messing with Stable Diffusion to turn footage and images into an anime style. So we still get to basically film it live action, but then it's basically just using Stable Diffusion to apply a fancy anime filter to everything. And there's, you know, some
that doesn't quite do it justice though, Sam.
There's some finer details, but
what you just said boils it down, waters it down so much.
But the thing is that it like, but that's also the kind of the epiphany that's coming out of this, which is like everyone's like, oh my gosh, AI image generation art, blah blah blah, but it's like, it's a filter, bro.
Yeah,
it's like just a filter, like forgetting all like the crazy like mind-blowing AI stuff, it's like really it's just a filter.
Well, the
and
way
like,
you're using it is a filter because you're doing the image to image type stuff.
Yeah, we're basically Nico's taking like a still frame of someone on a green screen and then basically makes it look anime. But then so like we were talking about this, I showed you this early, this morning, and then Fenner too, but it's the idea of like, okay, well now what about the background? So you have a footage of a character, so how do you do the backgrounds? And like I was like initially at first gonna like maybe see if I could just use like Midjourney or something to make some cool backgrounds, but then like I made one image and then realized, oh shoot, this isn't gonna work because every image is gonna be different.
Yeah,
there's no consistency, like how do you do that? So I was like, okay, well he's using image to image for the footage, so why not just use like a 3D environment like and then apply image to image to that to then now keep consistency, so that way when there's shot, reverse shot, punch in, zoom out, it's like all like consistent in the same space.
Yeah, you basically have your set that then you can make look like,
and you're just sourcing that in Unreal, like you
so
found
yeah
a cathedral.
I literally just I go into the marketplace, gothic interior cathedral, get a sweet thing, and then boom, I like all yesterday and today it's just
okay
been, like,
there's a couple steps in between though that you really quickly glazed over, which is number one, for this they unlike the Spider-Verse piece that you guys have taken and created your own data set from which the texture is being created.
Well, that's for the characters, for the characters.
Yeah, that's for the characters, but then also for the environments. So now not only do we have fully animated characters with their own data sets that we're not using like a data set that's already created from, but we're creating our own data set. And then second of all, what Sam is saying, when he says you basically just create a 3D environment, what you're doing is you're going into Unreal, you're creating an environment, but then when Stable Diffusion spits you back each individual image, all the images are consistent because it has a consistent thing to reference.
Well, it's actually even simple. It is actually simpler than that. First off, I don't create the environment. I bought it. And I had to do very little work to basically clean it up and relight it to make it.
You didn't
it
even like do anything for the render. You just like pointed the camera and you're like, screenshot.
I'm not even rendering a frame. I literally am just using their screenshot tool in Unreal because it's faster. Okay. And okay. then like when I'm actually when I'm processing the backgrounds, I'm not even using a specially like it's not even a special trained model, really. It's just okay. the right prompt saying 90s anime film and then a couple like, you know, anime references and stuff like that. And then boom, it just anime filter. So and the thing is that unlike Nico, like he, you know, they're focused on the footage, which is moving. So they're, you know, focused on the temporal consistency.
Yeah, the temporal consistency.
Basically,
exactly.
how much does this image change based off of each frame? But for mm-hmm. the background work, like if you think about animated films, it's 2D. So I don't have to worry about that at all. Like, yeah. because we're just going to stack up, you know, 2D elements and hand animate them. Just kind of like you would an actual anime piece before right. anime got into 3D and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So. Right. I technically have it a little bit easier.
Basically, moral of the story is that it's a fascinating new workflow that could potentially reduce the amount of effort and time required to make a full-on anime show. But there are some downsides that we're exploring and discovering as well. The yeah. one thing you mentioned, Sam, is that, and because that was the first thing I saw too, is that I can't quite shake the feeling that it just looks like a rotoscoped video.
Yep. There's yeah. a yeah. A so there, that's a thing there. It's like if you just play the video with the filter on it, like of a person, just kind of looks like a person with like a yeah rotoscoped colors on them.
Reminds me of that Lord of the Rings cartoon that came out like 30-40 years ago.
Yeah, well, but they've been doing that for a long time. That like they've since day one, like Disney films, like Cinderella and Snow White or whatever. That was like they film reference footage and then trace that
right
as yeah. their like base animation. So mm-hmm. it's like that's a core foundation of, you know, animation.
Yeah, I guess I just wonder, like, what are the ways that we can, like, push this further so that it doesn't quite just look like a filter over video? Because that was what made the stable diffusion stuff really cool. Like, shooting, you know, Dean in the Spider-Man outfit on a green screen, but transforming the entire suit into the actual, like,
yeah,
Peter Parker suit and make it Tom Holland and all that stuff.
I think it's all just frame rate stuff.
Yeah, like, it's like, just taking, like, we were talking today about essentially forcing ourselves to be limited to the tech they'd be using for like a 1995 anime film. So it's like you're not doing 3D camera moves, you're like being like, okay, you know what, everything's animated on twos, maybe there's an actual like camera moving like with different cells and stuff that can be 24 frames per second. Just like trying to take all of the aspects that make that anime look and try to do that, like where it's like maybe a character goes to a pose and then they're just stuck in that pose for like
yeah
48
no,
frames.
I guess what I'm getting at is like, how do we make Nico look like something more rather than just like, oh, yeah, that's yeah. cartoon Nico.
So because that's the tough thing, which is that's the trade off. Like if you want the temporal consistency, like if you want each frame to look more like the last one, you kind of have to turn the style down a tiny bit.
Right.
Because if it's going to go anime filter and big eyes, like Nico's eyes aren't big. So it has to guess every frame now
yeah.
where those big eyes are going to be and what the shape is going to be okay. versus when if you tone that down a tiny bit, it's able to actually look at the footage and say that's where the eye is. That's how big it is.
Yeah.
What and if we so, used yeah. What if in the future we used special effects makeup to accentuate different angular parts of the face or the eyes or the teeth?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about that, too. Like for like, yeah, I was telling Nico, like we should do a data set with like. We put like fake scar makeup on him or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, totally.
And
yeah.
now he has a cool scar in all the pictures.
Yeah, but we were talking. It's like once we shoot all the footage, create a new data set based on that. So it specifically knows how to draw those exact frames that it like we're actually feeding it for the final like piece, the final short film.
Yeah.
So the data set's trained on that, like the actual actors in costume specifically for the exact shots that are in the film. So it's like, because basically what you're doing it when you're training a model is you're just telling like feeding it images to be like, hey, stable diffusion, learn how to draw this. So if you're feeding it exactly what it needs to draw, like if you're feeding it the actual frames that you want to work on, it's going to learn to draw that basically.
Right.
So it's going to,
we're going to end up playing with a lot of models.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's like a cool technique too that I remember we talked about back in the day with the deep fakes, which is kind of similar. Which is like doing deep faked makeup, so to speak, where you're not necessarily changing someone's identity, but you're applying something to their face that would be either like time consuming or cost prohibitive mm-hmm. to do for every shot or something like that.
Yeah. Have you guys seen all the news about Indiana Jones 5? Apparently they're doing some new de-aging deep fake stabled something for de-aging.
They are not.
Really?
They are not doing Indiana Jones 5.
Oh, yeah, they are.
Oh, yeah, no, that's already been confirmed for a while.
Yeah.
Oh, my God,
yeah.
Son.
Return of the Crystal Skull.
Put it to bed, son.
I even saw, like, the class. It always happens. Every year, there's a new story about, like, how the director or someone on the team is like, we're doing everything practically. He's, like, adamant that all of the backgrounds are practical, and they're not doing CG backgrounds. I'm like, okay.
We'll There's see. So much VFX already happening on that movie. Like, and it's like, we didn't use a single VFX shot. I'm like, you suck. Like, yes, you did.
You suck.
Harrison Ford's going to be limping off one of them trains, son.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends. But, like, you know, that's, I think it's, once again, it's still valid because the more we, like, look at, like, older practical effects on the React show, the more I'm starting to realize, like, there's this, like, psychological distinction that your brain makes when you see something that's a CG effect versus something that's practical. Mm-hmm. Because even when something's like, if it's practical but not necessarily realistic, you still, I feel like you still subconsciously like have a more like realistic reaction to it, and you know, and it's like, it's because you're less believing that it's not real, but how do I say it?
It's that tangible feeling, you know, where it's like, yeah. Oh, that, well, it's like you actually are, existed.
Yeah, yeah, you know, you're watching a movie.
Yeah.
So, and you're like, you know, this isn't real. So if something happens, you're like, okay, obviously that weird effect isn't real. But if it's practically done, then there is this weird, like, okay, like that's still, despite this all being fantasy, that still happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it kind of helps.
And that's a hard one to like sort of evaluate, like from a psychology standpoint, because, you know, the main argument against that these days is that for most movies, you look at a shot and it's like, is that practical or digital? And people are like, I don't know. And it's like, yeah, you can't tell. Like digital effects these days are so good, you can't tell. But at the same time, when you can actually tell that something is real and not just not suspending your disbelief, There's that, I don't know, there's something psychological about knowing that what you're seeing actually exists in reality.
Yeah.
Rather than was crafted for the sake of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know where the value in that lies, because at the end of the day, it's all about serving the story in the movie. And
but it's not like, you know, it actually exists. It's not like it actually existed in reality, even when it's a special effect. I mean, it was particularly done with the same level of thought process and insight that a visual effect would be. You're just capturing it all in the frames rather than doing it in the frames and later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's always like, there's a granularity that you get with practical effects and a chaotic sort of seed.
That's
that
true.
You can't really replicate digitally. You can get close and whatnot, but you know, I always think back to, what was it? War of the Worlds. When in the first part of the movie, when the tripods start like blowing up the town and they're getting out of there, and then like he's running down the street and the houses are blowing up around him, those are all miniature sets that were being blown up practically. So you're getting all of that chaotic dust and debris and fragments flying everywhere that is real, and it sells it a little bit more. If they try to do that digitally, you have to then go through and try to recreate every single one of those tiny elements. It's like, you ever see like the VFX breakdowns of like a building collapse or something?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh yeah, there's rubble, then there's smaller rubble, then there's micro rubble, and there's mega rubble, and then there's dust, and then there's thick dust, and there's thin dust, and it's like it goes on and on and on if you actually want to replicate all of the crazy things that happen in real life.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, Fenner, you've got to know something or two about those types of shots. I mean, how many layers are we talking here?
Too many.
How many nodes are we talking?
It depends, man. It's like some shots, it also just depends on the render, because sometimes I've got like a CG render and it's like, oh, it looks perfect. And you just kind of slap it in, match the black levels, and you're like, awesome. And then sometimes you get something and it's like, oh God, this doesn't look good at all. And it's just so much tweaking. And I mean, I'm always of the mindset that it's like, shoot as much as you can practically and then use VFX to enhance, which I think is like pretty much the standard take about this sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was watching a breakdown on Jurassic World Dominion, and they were like, you know what we did? We brought back animatronic dinosaurs.
We brought back dinosaurs.
Well, the new movie, they built an animatronic dinosaur for it, and it was this big thing, and it's like the worst looking shots in the movie. Yeah. It's like, because the rest of the movie is like these like hyper real CG dinosaurs, and they're like,
but we made one.
Oh, it's the big one for like the big scene where it's like trying to chomp him and stuff. Yeah, they have like a big animatronic head.
Yeah, but it just looks kind of jacked up when you're cutting back to the wall. I don't know. It's
like when you cut to the wide and it's like all flexible and
yeah, and it's
and
like
whatnot.
Moving all quick, but then it's like, eh. It's, I don't know. It's so weird. Like
they're trying to capture that magic of the first movie.
Yeah, but it felt like they were doing it as a stunt. And I think that's why it was so good in the original Jurassic Park, is because it was a necessity to do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like they're doing it as like, cool, so we can say we did practical. It's like the same idea of like, we didn't do any VFX on this movie. It's like, well, you know.
It's funny too, because that scene, it's like, that's at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
And so you've been watching CG dinosaurs the whole movie. Yeah. And now suddenly there's this big animatronic chomper.
Yeah.
So the look is ingrained into your head now in terms of the story.
Yeah, it's so weird. It's
on
like,
the close-ups too. Out of all the shots,
yeah,
you know, like you picked the close-up to.
Yeah, and yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure that animatronic dinosaur, they still did like layers and layers of CG over top of that, where they probably just like match moved the animatronic, and then. But mm-hmm. there's something about it that it doesn't work. Like it just felt so weird. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. It feels like a stunt thing where it's like. I don't know, just doing it because you can, not because it's like going to make the film better.
Yeah. Like Indiana Jones 5 in concept in general, just doing it because you can,
it's
not because
Harrison
it's going
to
make the franchise
to kill
better.
Off all his iconic characters.
Well, yeah, because he's probably going to die after this.
In a plane accident.
Oh, God.
At least in Jackson like, Hole, Wyoming.
You know, the original Indiana Jones movies are so good. I don't just first off,
they're amazing.
They're amazing.
Well, the second one is not.
Which
the first
one is,
and the third one is.
I like Temple of Doom. I don't care.
Temple of Doom. Right. Nope.
He pulls a man's heart out. It's fucking
go home.
Cool.
I love that movie.
It's awesome. They're all awesome. All three. It's weird though that they just skipped the fourth movie and they're just making an Indiana Jones 5.
Is Shia LaBeouf going to be in it?
Oh, gosh.
Are you trolling right now?
No, I know there's freaking Crystal Skull is horrible.
The thing is, like, what made the Indiana Jones movies cool is just like they're like kind of jacked up, you know? They're like, oh, we're on a fun adventure, and then there's one or two moments where like, oh my goodness, this is very disturbing and jacked up. Like,
so
there's
here's
guys melting, and then there's people like with accelerated aging and turning into dust, and then you have people's hearts getting ripped out, and then like then they're like, all right, we're rebooting it, and then like here's a bunch of like. CG monkeys or whatever.
Here's the thing about Indiana
Jones. Come on, like give me just like the one, like because if you're a kid, you're watching it, you're like, oh, it's well fun adventure movie, and there's one moment you're like, oh my, like you want to throw up, it's so intense. And you're like, oh my, this is so jacked up, and then you walk away going like, dude, I just watched the sweetest movie. There's this one jacked up part in it. You know, you're like, that was intense as hell.
It's I'm gonna go tell all my Jurassic friends. Movies, none of the main characters die.
There's a part where the guy gets smushed in the freaking rollers. You know, his cape gets his
I remember
that guy gets
caught
up by that airplane
and he gets smushed
blade.
And just like blood comes out.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And you're like, whoa. You know, it's like, dude, this is what, like, my parents let me watch this movie.
One guy gets eviscerated by an airplane blade.
Yeah.
Dude,
yeah.
The first one.
It's so good.
I'm just saying, like, dude, he freaking shoots a dude.
Seen the sword fight scene?
He's sick
like,
to fight.
He shoots a guy.
And it became iconic.
It's just like, damn.
Yeah.
It's
so
heavy.
Okay, but here's my gripe. With these types of franchise reboots is it's like a lot of maybe this one will be different. Some of them are. I'm recognizing that. But most of the time, you got to admit that they don't acknowledge that the characters get older pretty much at all.
Or they over acknowledge it and they're
or
like,
they
I'm getting too old for this
I think it's over acknowledging more so.
Oh yeah, or they're like they make cheesy tongue-in-cheek jokes to how they used to be younger. But when it comes to like when it comes to the moments where they got to get away with something and something happens, it's like they always somehow miraculously make it through, even though they're way older than they used to be in the earlier ones. And that's my gripe with it. Whereas with Clint Eastwood films, when Clint Eastwood got older, they were like, let's just acknowledge it's a new story and he's an old man. and he's gonna do some old
get
man
off
shit.
My lawn.
Instead, yeah, instead of like trying to make him like do young man shit as an old man.
Yeah.
Well, like, that's okay, what I don't. But there's a thing though that like there's this thing that happens and like, so I've experienced it. Like when we make videos and we're like, hey, let's make a follow up or a sequel or like working on Dubstep Guns 2. Like there's always this, like there's this, what is it? It's the, you get this impulse to turn back for inspiration. You know, you're always like going like, well, what made the first one so cool? How can we recreate that? Mm-hmm. You know, that's like the first thing you think about. And like the more you make of these things, sometimes the more and more you start just like you become unable to like just look ahead and make something new and cool because you're so obsessed with trying to just recreate past success. And like that was like the problem with a lot of like just all sequels that we've ever made have kind of that issue. And generally, do they do as well as the first one? Like, I mean, other than the Boss Town Dynamics video, like generally, no.
Yeah, I was about to say that, like, I feel like we don't really ever do sequels. We do spiritual successors.
Yeah. But like with these, like this happens with all these movies, like The Matrix and Star Wars and Indiana Jones and stuff. Yeah. They stop like the goal is never, seems to not ever be like, hey, let's make something that's like fun and new and cool using the same characters, but instead just like look back and like you're basically just doing a remake, but with the same cast.
What did you guys think?
Star Wars 7 is literally a remake of Star Wars
it's
4.
A New Hope, but
I know. Worse. Yeah, we don't need to.
Yeah, I just
Star
I'm
Wars
just that's
again.
Like that's like the paradigm. That's the paradigm example. I'm just
Have you guys all seen Top Gun Maverick?
Oh yeah.
Because I feel like that's the huge exception to this rule where
it's
better than the original.
It's way better.
It's like it's either my first or second favorite movie of this entire year.
Top Gun.
I don't know if it's better than the original, but it's
so much better.
When was the last time you watched
so much better?
That and Blade Runner, I'd say.
I saw
Blade Runner 2049. Yeah,
Blade Runner is like you watch it and you're not. You don't. Yeah, same with Top Gun. You're never at any point are you feeling like you're just watching like a slightly more polished version of the older movie. You know, it's like you're getting something new.
It's a completely new movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what Top Gun Maverick is, though? I saw one of those YouTube videos about this. I don't know, the like, YouTubers.
Like a simplified story, like condensed.
Top Gun Maverick is just the trench run from A New Hope. That's the whole movie.
But it's the whole
we
movie.
We got to fly through these mountains. We got to shoot a bomb into a hole and get away.
Imagine Luke trained a lot harder.
Yeah. But that's the whole movie. And it's so good because of that. Because that's the best part of
it.
A New Hope.
It never tried to like do anything fancy with the story. It never tried to like make any cool twist or anything. So just like.
You think that Top Gun Maverick is better than Top Gun?
Yes.
Without a doubt.
As in the way that Terminator 2 is undoubtedly better than the original Terminator.
I don't really have a big opinion on that, but
I feel like I think the degrees of separation are different in those two references. Mm-hmm. But overall, I would agree with those.
So,
that's saying a lot. I mean, I thought it was good. I didn't think it was better than the original, though.
The first Top Gun movie is Jenna's favorite movie, my wife. And
pretty good.
Because of that, I have been subjected to watching that movie multiple times.
Really?
So I've seen that movie many times at this point, and it's a good movie.
What's your favorite part?
When Goose dies.
It's the best part of the movie.
Jeez.
No, not really. I don't know. The Jets. Cool. I don't know. It's just there's a degree of like boringness to it now at this point. Maybe it's just because I've seen it so many times, but the second movie just felt so fresh and everything about it just it just worked so well. Like every thing it was trying to do, it did in a very good way.
Yeah.
Like I'm not saying it's a bad movie at all. I thought it was a very good movie. I just didn't think it was better than the original one.
Well, let me put it this way. I enjoyed it a hell of a lot more than the original.
Oh, well, that's probably because you don't like the original. Maybe you need to say
that.
I'm going to take this up with Jenna at the Christmas party. I'm going to ask her more about this.
That movie's just nuts, though. Like, yeah. I was reading this whole silly thing. Like, I somehow fall for these clickbait articles where like
AI generated
they had to develop a new camera system to film Top Gun Maverick, and I'm like reading it, it's like, oh, this is actually super crazy.
Yeah,
it's like they're like, oh yeah, we want to get those like dope GoPro angles that you see, but we want like nice cameras to film it.
Yeah, so, they like took apart a Sony camera and were like, shove it in the cup.
Well, no, but they had to do that. And then they had to have the whole thing like safety rated and stuff because it had to be like flight worthy.
Yeah.
So it had to go through a similar process to like how everything on the jet goes on when it comes to like
so
like the tolerances and the safety ratings and how strong
factor safety
can handle all the G's and stuff. And they had to like test it for, you know, that was like the first
rigorous testing. Yeah,
yeah. It's insane. It's like,
that's
oh,
pretty dope.
Like when we're sitting here like taping cameras to shit, you know, you know, we're like, we got to get a shot with this car. Yeah. It's like, dude, let's just tape the shit on the
you got a suction cup, bro.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Last thing you want is like to be a pilot in a jet and you pull a quick barrel roll and the camera just dislodges and flies around the cockpit.
Yeah. These are like, out. Oh, someone in the government has to approve our camera rig.
Yeah.
But like you also get the whole thing where it's like they did shoot a lot of those cockpit scenes practically in the sense that like they had the real actor there. They were actually pulling real G's and all that stuff. And they were having to, you know, they had moments that like, all right, and then you're supposed to look up to the left and be alarmed. But it's up to you to decide when that is and all that stuff. And people like, yeah, they didn't have any effects in the movie. And it's like, hold up. That's not what they're saying either.
Yeah.
They shot a lot of practical stuff, but then everything was augmented. Like most of those shots, even when they're filmed, it's like there are no jets just off the wing. You know, like those are added in. And a lot of the times the backgrounds were completely replaced, too.
Yeah.
There's like 2000 shots, 2000 VFX shots or something like
Wait,
that.
Wait, you
Top
mean
Gun
the
Maverick.
Pilots didn't actually go in there, drop that bomb and then pull that G to get out of there?
I mean, they did do a lot of those maneuvers, but obviously not in freaking nameless country Siberia that they were in.
Not Dude, under the
nameless
not
country.
Under
OK,
the,
hold on.
So
tangent.
Cool.
Have you guys played the new Modern Warfare game?
The one that came out like 3 days ago?
Is it in nameless country Siberia?
No. Well, I'm just saying, like, so the first Modern Warfare game and this latest one that came out, some of the coolest single player campaigns I've ever played.
Wait, are you literally talking about the one that came out like in the last week or two?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Modern Warfare 2 came out and like, dude, right off the gate, they're just like, Iran's trying to get nukes. And I'm like, whoa, okay, so you're, okay, all right, yeah, Modern Warfare, here we go.
Wow, okay. Really living up to the name.
Yeah, it's like, oh, yeah, Iran, sure, yeah, they do, I guess, want
to
get nukes,
that's
the story here. And they're like, oh, yeah, the cartel's helping them now. And it's like, oh, shit, there we go, we're in Mexico. It's like, not like, you know, whatever, Mexistan or something. I don't know. You know, they're not like making up similar names. They're just like, they're just going hard. It's Mexistan. Like, I mean, that's obviously what the series is known for, but I've just become so used to like films trying to like neutralize just like real world,
cutting all
like,
the edges
conflicts
off of everything
and turn them into these imaginary situations,
which is exactly what they did in Top Gun Maverick. It's like literally it was, like the country they're invading and fighting against or whatever, like there's no actual nationality ever mentioned.
The enemy, which you know, and in military speak, it like it works. It's like what?
I thought it totally worked. And
so you're not concerned with who you're bombing. It's like it's your job
movie,
to kill them.
Exactly. In the context of that movie, I actually really appreciated that.
But it was totally Russia.
But it was totally Russia.
It was totally Russia. Let's be
something
clear.
Like that. Like,
as soon as they pull up and it's snowy, I'm like, I see what you guys are doing.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Anyway, but it's great. You should play it. It's so cool.
It's Modern Warfare 2.
Yeah.
Because there was Modern Warfare 2 that came out like 15 years ago.
Yeah.
So look, if you're confused by this, then don't just skip it.
No, I
if you can't conceive that they remade it / rebooted it.
But is it a reboot or is it a brand new game, original story?
It's original, it's new. It's
okay.
So it's a new campaign.
It's
a
reboot.
Remastered.
It's not remastered. It's like they're just calling it, they just were like, look, we want to just simplify things. We're just starting back at Modern Warfare 1.
They said,
1.
Look, we
want to
sell
stuff.
As many copies as possible.
Is it the
Let's
same
just
characters?
Start
is
over.
Still like
yes. No,
Price
but that's the fun
stuff?
Thing. It is the same characters as the original Modern Warfare.
So it's the same characters.
No, because they killed off a bunch of them in like the Modern Warfare 2 from years ago.
But this
ago.
Is before that too.
No.
If
they're
rebooting
just, they're just
from
like
the
guys,
beginning,
these,
they haven't died yet.
This is like alternate universe?
No, just imagine
Sorry,
that. Like, okay,
what is the official title of this game?
Imagine you're making Star Wars. And you killed the Emperor, you know, in your like the last of your trilogy.
But somehow
and then
Palpatine
somehow you're talking about like we should make more Star Wars movies. And then you're like, but dude, that Emperor character
but
was so sweet.
But that's what they did.
Okay. See, that was actually a joke. I was setting up a joke there. They did that poorly.
No, but it's somehow a ghost has returned.
No, but imagine that, but then they start the storyline from like day zero instead of like trying to like weave it back in.
That's cool.
Instead of like, you know, retcon. No, it's sweet though.
Okay, this one is awesome. Modern Warfare. This one is Call of Duty Modern Warfare Roman numeral 2.
Oh,
maybe that could be. Well, regardless, okay.
I'm still trying to figure out what the distinction is between. They literally use the exact same title.
Yeah, but that's okay.
Does it still?
It's okay because it's a new game.
Up to the, like,
and if
eventual,
you've been playing,
like,
the Modern Warfare games, you won't be confused. You'll be like, but oh,
why would you use the exact same title?
Do they still do the whole betrayal?
I'm not
thing
concerned
at the
about
end?
That because, like, the game's good. Who cares?
No, of course. Of course. I'm not disagreeing with you that the game
might
be
like
good.
A
I'm just
single
very
player.
Confusing.
I finished the single confusing. The single player for the first one is like the best ever. But
I enjoyed Modern Warfare 1 single player more than 2. Because that was the one where you got the ghillie suit and you're like,
oh,
yeah,
the sniper mission.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah,
that was a pretty cool one.
Yeah. It's cool. It's
so
classic.
Like, the second one, you had to murder all those people again? In the airport.
Sam, I gotta get to the bottom of this. Is this a remake?
It's just like, look, that was a cool cast of characters and their stories. Some of them died off, whatever, and then they're just like, you know, screw that. Let's just make more cool stuff with that. Who cares?
I don't think I've played a Call of Duty game in like 8 or 10 years.
Dude, I used to shit on Call of Duty once Call of Duty 3 came out, you know, or whatever, Modern Warfare 3, or once they fell off the deep end, you know, and I was like, oh, dude, Call of Duty sucks. And then they reboot it, and it's like, this is the best, playing a nice polished game.
Yeah.
Like a AAA game. It's like, oh, God, what a great experience it is.
I can get it on my PS5.
Like, it's not some fucking early access $10 right, Steam BS. You're like, oh, you got to play the hottest game. It's this random cartoon
janking out
thing
in
where
VR.
You jump around or whatever. And it's like, yeah. Like, dude, I want like AAA voice acting, insane character design. I want Blur Studios to do all the cinematics.
Oh yeah,
it's like I want all of it.
Is there a zombies mode?
Yeah, I don't know. Probably.
Oh, dude, so much time in freaking COD Zombies. It's so good.
Yeah, I dropped out before that. That once COD Zombies was the thing. I had already hit my COD fatigue by that point. So I was just like, whatever.
World at War, Nazi like, zombies. Oh, good times.
Oh man, wow.
Anyways,
Modern Warfare 2,
sweet. It's so sick.
Modern Warfare 2, the reboot.
Modern Warfare II.
Yeah.
LL Cool J.
LL Cool.
You're imagining. Modern Warfare 2. Hey, wait, but he's talking about 2 games. Wait, Modern Warfare 2 came out a long time ago.
Like, you don't have to make fun of me. It's just very, this is very unconventional for a video game to not at least call it something new.
They should have just.
They do this with movies, but those movies are literally reboots of the original.
I think they should have done this.
And then you can, and then there's a reference point. You can say, is it True Grit from 1957 or is it True Grit from 2009? Which one is it? Or whatever they are.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
and then you have a year where you can reference it. So is, but you can't, I don't know if that lexicon.
Modern Warfare 2
2022. Oh no.
Okay, there you go. Okay, there you go. That works. I guess that is it. That is it.
Yeah.
Versus Modern Warfare 2 2009.
I honestly think Star Wars should start from episode 1 again.
Modern Warfare 2 2022.
I want to see Star Wars episode 1 coming out in 2025. New story. They're
you're
like,
probably
and that Anakin storyline sucked. Let's
dude,
figure out some
Disney,
new stuff.
If Disney has their way, that's exactly what's going to happen.
They're like,
dude.
Qui-Gon Jinn was a great character. It was honestly a mistake to kill him in the first episode.
Yeah. You know what? The story's about him now.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
go with it. Just go with it. It's
Darth
an alternate
Maul turns
reality.
Into a good guy. Episode 2.
Although, I mean, speaking of Star Wars, I have been really enjoying Andor. Have you guys checked that out at
good.
All? I kept hearing good things and I was like, oh, I'm so busy. Finally, I got around to it. I was like, all right, fine. I'll check out this Andor. I was so burned by Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
And I binged the first 2 episodes in one go and I'm now like 5 or 6 episodes deep and the show is incredible.
It keeps
like,
getting
what
better.
The hell?
Yeah. It ramps up so well. Like it's so good.
Well, it's truly a testament on Disney's behalf that they were able to get you guys to watch one more Star Wars show.
I know.
After all they've done to us.
And the only reason why I did is because everyone kept raving about it. I was done after Obi-Wan. I was pissed.
You were done after... Dude, I was done way before that.
2025. Guys, dude. I can't wait for Star Wars 1 2025 to come out.
It's going to be great. I want the Star Wars 1 parentheses 2025 episode 1. Well, let's go back. Let's fix all the wrongs. Let's make it better.
Fix all the wrongs.
Dude,
right, all you've
seen
wrongs.
Episode 1. It's great. It's like, what? You mean the movie from 1999? It's like, no. Star Wars episode 1 from 2025.
No, silly.
No.
The new one.
Wait, there's a new one? Wait, but why didn't they give it a new
Qui-Gon
name?
Qui-Gon Jinn lives.
Wait, is it a prequel? It's like, no, it's not a prequel anymore. It's the beginning of this new, like, triple trilogy.
But it has the same characters?
They're doing it in order this time.
50 years later.
Dude, get ready. Disney Plus, come on. Let's do episode one, the series.
Let's go. Let's go.
No. Episode one, the series.
It hurts that it's so accurate. And
they
it's
just
all
may.
Shot on the volume.
They just yeah. may. And then they'll go, well, this isn't official Star Wars canon. This is just, it's separate canon. It's alternate canon. They'll come up with some other name for
it. For your own enjoyment.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, that's what we're doing around here. Just solving the world's problems.
All right.
I'm very excited for to see your nerfs, Ren. And also to see the anime Rock, Paper, Scissors video come together.
Great. It's gonna be so
I feel
good.
Like it's finally we're getting able to apply some of these tools in a truly original creative way instead of just kind of, hey, look at the potential of this.
Yeah. I mean, other than the fact that, you know, we're stealing decades of artists' styles and work and transfer.
Well, yeah, but I mean
own,
that's been the case. Look, no, that's been the case throughout art. Thing. Throughout the history of art and
I know,
time
it's like,
itself.
God forbid you look at a painting and then want to draw one like that for yourself.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
God forbid I watched The Matrix when I was a young lad and then have forever tried to do slow motion bullets. I know, right?
No, there ain't nothing wrong with that.
Something that I've been really wanting to do but haven't yet is, you know how like a lot of the new games have like cinematic mode? Or sorry, not cinematic mode. Photo mode.
It pauses
the game and you can get rid of the entire
like
UI and move
mode.
The camera around.
Yeah.
I want to start making nerfs for my games.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Screen cap as I move the camera around and just the same way I would normally for a regular nerf, process that through the web and get a thing out of it. And then I can get my own camera moves in there. If I've got like a costume or something, like I'm cosplaying as a character from, say, Horizon Forbidden West, and I'm able to get a really sweet, realistic looking location that I can then camera track to real footage of a person wearing a costume on a green screen, like I think there's something to be said for that. Yeah. No one's explored
Do you remember when concepts like this were referred to as mixed media?
It's the ultimate phone app. Sorry. What did you say?
Do you remember when concepts like that were referred to as mixed media and new media? Do you remember that time?
Yeah, now it's just media again.
Yeah, now it's just
media. Well, it's now mixed reality. Media.
Yeah,
right.
It's because there's AR, there's XR, there's VR, and so they just refer to all of it as MR.
MR. Now it's all just MR, which will soon just become
XR,
part
yeah,
of
I don't know.
Media.
What is XR?
I'm not sure.
Oh, no.
It's a type of one wheel. I know that.
They all come out with different names for it.
Maybe XR is the mixed reality thing, and they don't know how to spell.
Yeah, it's cooler if it's X. You put an X in anything.
Reality.
Yeah.
No, but seriously, it does make it sound futuristic if you put an X in front of it.
Guys,
extra reality. All
right, let's place our bets right here. $10. When does the first phone app come out that allows you to basically film someone, have the footage 3D tracked, have the subject keyed? That you're filming
live
and then
without a green
also
screen.
Allows you to select from an array of nerfs for the environment in which they're in, basically effectively doing what all like Zoom meetings and Google, you know, like, you know, the auto key,
yeah,
put it
yeah.
But now it's in your phone and the camera's also moving in that environment. How long until we see that?
I mean, that's basically just Lumo, but with a keying thing, right?
I mean, yeah, and a lot of those things are things right now. It's just the hardware is not good enough to do that fast enough yet. Like, our iPhones are already good enough to do live segmentation, basically green screening without a green screen, and it removes a subject and puts, you know, something behind them. I can already do that with like freaking Polycam right now.
Yeah. Also, is you guys,
I think it's going to be two years until they 2024. Release another two phones.
But have you seen this thing on the phones where you just press this?
Yeah.
And now you have an element.
Yeah.
Have you seen that? Like on the new phones, you have a photo.
Sam's referring to basically on the iPhone. What? If you just like hold down on the subject of the photo, it'll automatically crop that person out. What? We're talking like Magic Mask specific.
I'm pretty
cropping.
Sure.
And you
the new
can
iPhone,
drag that down and put it in like a text message.
The new iPhone model has a thing where you basically just.
It's new iOS. It's not even the new iPhone.
Sorry, the new iOS. That's what I meant to say. Sarah accidentally did it the other day. She was like, she accidentally tapped a picture and it like selected the subject and was like, whoa. It just did Magic Mask on the person. I'm pretty sure it's probably like an AI model that is integrated because it's object recognition.
iPhones these days have an entire like half of the processor dedicated to AI based tasks.
Yeah,
that's
what I'm saying. So like, I can totally imagine in a year or two, it's like, all right, sweet. Well, we already have the accelerometers. We have nerfs. All we need to do is find a way to just make them more optimized so you can just load one up on a phone and then just auto key someone.
I'd say it's less than 2 years, dude.
Yeah, like, I'm guessing
they have to do
March.
Is like get real time.
It's basically now you can film anyone on your phone and pretend like you're in any location. Mm-hmm. It's
I feel
crazy.
Like it's like 8 months.
8 months.
Right, I mean, Fenner, literally,
Fenner,
I can do that right now.
Place the bets. Place the bets.
Good.
Fenner, what do you say?
8 months. 8 months.
8 months. So that puts us in. We'll call it this December. So that puts us in July. Okay.
Yeah, I can see it.
Ren.
It's certainly possible within the year. Absolutely. It's just a matter of like, who's going to do it? Luma might do it. Polycam might do it. Polycam's already got like that sort of AR feature set.
And
but
Polycam's introducing nerfs as well.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of. They've now allowed you to download full data sets, including like the position data for each camera pose, to run through a different program called Nerf Studio, which is sick. I haven't tried it yet.
Yeah.
I'm guessing March of 24.
All right. I was going to say November of 24.
November. Oh, 2 years. Two full years. Okay.
Yeah. It's going to require someone to be able to
$10
do a
is on the line.
Real-time render of a Nerf, though. Radiant
Steel
render.
$10. We will send
it
to you via comment in our video. We'll comment to you and say you've won a prize. DM us directly.
Oh, God.
Please don't respond to those. Oh, my God. Guys,
so
I'm joking.
Spam.
If you see Corridor Crew or Corridor Cast or Corridor Digital respond to you and request a DM from you in one of our YouTube videos, that is spam. We get emails every day of people saying, hey, did you guys DM me?
Oh, yeah. Housekeeping. Yeah. We're not doing giveaways in the comments. We never do giveaways in the comments. Okay.
We never do giveaways anyway.
No, we've done that.
We've done
them.
A few.
And if we do them in the future, it will not be through
the comments
just us telling you in the comments you've won a prize. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say that right here and now. Okay.
All right. What if we did, though?
What if we did?
What if it's a really good prize, too?
That would be
like
really confusing
for
people.
Yeah. No, PS5, really sneaky. But you still have to pay us for shipping.
And it would further perpetuate the scammers.
That's the scam.
That's the scam.
They'd be like, this
you
seems
want a PS5? And then they email them, and then they're like, oh, yes, pay us $120 for shipping of the PS5. It's like, okay. I really hope no one's actually had to pay anyone that. That would be sad.
Well, we got off on a tangent on that one. I was just saying $10, 10 doll hairs to the winner.
All right, cool.
All right.
Let's do it.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's all happening so fast.
Do you think it'll be a new app, or do you think it's going to be an existing app that adds
I can't possibly imagine what new apps will come into existence within the next year.
I think it'll be a TikTok update.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Very real possibility.
It's a TikTok. Yeah. Definitely not Instagram. They're dragging their feet on everything.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, thanks for watching, everyone.
All right. God help us, and thanks for watching. And wow. It's good chatting with you guys. I can't wait to see what dystopian AI futures we get into next time.
Next time.
Next week.
Next week. That's next week. Next week we talk about Twitter.
Oh, okay, I'm out.
Just kidding.
See ya. All right. 3, 2, 1. Ah! Oh, wait, we haven't had the music yet.
Honestly, my best way. We're fading out here, right?
Yeah.
Cool. Just unfollow Elon Musk. Twitter's fine. It's just don't follow him and Kanye West. It doesn't matter. Like, then you're fine.
Yeah.
There's nothing to be mad about anymore. And if Twitter just suddenly shuts down one day, oh well.
Oh my God, Twitter!
Just saying. It's easy.